So we've been studying the book of Mark, watching Jesus at work, ushering in a new kingdom, a new way of doing things. I invite you to follow along in your bulletin or your Bible or on the screen, coming from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 22. Mark chapter 2, verses 13 to 22. Listen now for the word of the Lord. Jesus went out again beside the lake, and the whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. The people came and said to him, "Why do John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" Jesus said to them, "The wedding guests cannot fast while the bridegroom is with them, can they? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and they will fast on that day. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old cloak, otherwise the patch pulls away from it. The new from the old, and a worse tear is made. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is lost, and so are the skins. But one puts new wine into fresh wineskins." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the beauty and the power of your word. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditation on all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength, our hope, our rock, our love, and our Redeemer. Amen. So we live in a world where people assume things about you based on your profession. I find this to be also intriguing as a native Philadelphian. You can also, people make assumptions about what parts of the city you live in, whether or not you're rich or you're educated or you're poor. And so based on what you do and even where you live or how your professional life shapes you, people make assumptions. They see a teacher and they think, "Wow, they care about the kids. That's beautiful." They see a musician, they think, "Wow, this person's really passionate about music and the arts." They see a firefighter and think, "Wow, this person is strong and courageous." They see a sanitation worker and say, "That person is dedicated and hardworking, because that is a tough job." They see a scientist and they think, "This person is also focused and relentless and won't give up till they find an answer or find a cure." They see a CEO and think, "This person is driven and powerful." And for the good or the bad, we place judgment and make assumptions about people based on the things they do or based on the things they have done. In our text today, we find the story about Levi and how he was called out to follow Jesus. In this text in Mark, Levi is briefly described as working in a tax booth. A tax collector. Now, if you look with modern eyes, you're like, it's a pretty decent job. You know what I'm saying? Somebody got to collect the money for the man. Somebody's got to do it. So he's collecting the money, you know, taking care of things, doing his job. Somebody's got to do it. Simple, clean, and easy. But tax collecting during the time of Jesus was no simple matter. The Jews were under Roman rule, and they could feel the hand of their oppressors from time to time. There was tension between the Jews and the Gentiles who governed over them. And one clear evidence of this system of oppression was taxation. See, the Jews had to pay to Caesar what was Caesar's, but then there was a middleman who used to make a little extra cash by collecting for Rome. And usually the position of a tax collector, you see, they could charge the people whatever they wanted before they had to pay the amount that was rendered unto Caesar. So it set up this system where the tax collector was able to fatten his pockets just a little bit extra. And it wasn't simply about taking what had to go back to the government. It was setting it up so that they could benefit from this oppressive system. And so the judgment placed on a tax collector in the time of Jesus was this was a person who took advantage of his own people. This was a person who had a bad reputation. This was a person that you didn't invite to dinner. This was a person when you walked by them on the street, you was like, oh, he taking all my money. I can't stand him. So the tax collector benefits directly from this oppressive system. And the reputation that this tax collector has is somebody that isn't good enough for anything. But as we see in the text, as we see with Jesus, Jesus can look at any person in any situation and look past them and look past the labels, look past the assumptions, look past the judgment and see something bright and beautiful and worth saving. When we study Mark, even we've been in chapter 1 and now we're in chapter 2, we can see that Jesus has reached out to the poor. He's reached out to those in need. But now Jesus is looking at the face of a lesser oppressor. And the question is, how does Jesus view him? Is this man worthy enough? And Jesus looks past all the judgments and sees a candidate for ministry. He sees a candidate for discipleship. And no matter what the other people think about Levi, Jesus says, you right there with all the bad assumptions, I know you got extra money in your pocket. You right there, I need you to leave all of this behind. And I need you to come and follow me. The scriptures tell us that without argument, without hesitation, Levi got up and he followed him. When we think about jobs that have people caught in systems of oppression, I can't help but to think of our own institution of American slavery and particularly the role of the slave owner. You see, when you read historical documents, when you really get at the heart of the matter, economics had everybody in a chokehold. Are you going to free all of these slaves and jack up this system of oppression that has benefited a whole lot of people? You see, the slave owner, for the good or the bad, is caught in this structure that keeps people oppressed. And from our eyes, this person looks vile and disgusting. How could they participate in a system that was so oppressive to other people? But God could look at a slave owner and think, if I could just catch hold of this oppressor, it will make a difference for the oppressed. If the oppressor can see that the lifestyle that he's living isn't really meant for him, that this way of doing things, that there's a whole nother way, then the whole world could open up. If you look at a couple black history facts or just history of slavery facts, there was a white slave owner named Freeborn Garrison. He owned slaves, and one day he was somebody who had an encounter with Jesus, and the Lord told him to let those slaves go. And he began to preach, and he began to preach to other white slave owners, saying there's something wrong and askew about this system that we're in, and we can't continue to participate in this way. And he went to a plantation, and he preached to the Sturgis plantation, and as he began to preach, that particular slave owner said, this isn't right. Something about this oppression is wrong. God looked past this label of evil and wrong and bad and said, that one right there is a candidate for discipleship. And what we come to find out in our history books is that at that particular plantation, there was a slave named Richard Allen. And that slave was able to purchase back his freedom, and that slave went on to start the AME Church, the African Methodist Episcopal Church. And all I think when I hear this is, if no one has a heart for the bad, for the oppressor, how is God going to get at that one? Freeborn Garrison knew that God could change someone who had a bad label. And he knew that if he just preached, that maybe God could get at another one who had a bad label and could make a difference in the kingdom. Friends, when we read this text, while we may not have any modern day tax collectors in this room, while we may not have any modern day slave owners in this room, many of us have labels of the things that we have done. We have labels of our past. We have labels of shame. We need to know that God looks at us and looks past the negative and says, I see a candidate for discipleship. The people that we know in our lives, the people that participate in acts and behaviors that we want to distance ourselves, we don't want any connection to them. Do we see them the way Jesus sees them? It says, that one right there, that one is a candidate for discipleship. And if Jesus could just get hold of that one, the ripple effect in the kingdom will be phenomenal. Instead of distancing ourselves, instead of not wanting to eat or associate with sinners, do we see candidates for discipleship? And when we look at this text, we see two things. We see that Jesus offers a new identity for the lost, and he offers a redefined identity for those who have already been found. Levi not only is able to walk away from this lifestyle, but Jesus comes into his home, and other tax collectors and other sinners are there. And just by rubbing elbows with Jesus, their lives are starting to churn and starting to change. Second part of this is redefining the identity of those who have been found. And if you can't figure that part out, that's pretty much most of us in this room. You see, we as a people of God aren't much different than the scribes and the Pharisees. We make a list of the things that people have done, the things that they have done. And we separate ourselves instead of saying, Lord, how can we support? How can we love? How can we nurture those who are hungry for change, who are hungry for transformation? And the only way they're going to have it is if they have an encounter with Jesus. No matter what you have done, no matter what you have been through, no matter what the world says about you, we are all candidates for discipleship and for a deeper encounter with Jesus. Friends, this good news right here, it's good news worth sharing. It's good news that's worth practicing. We need to walk through this life reminded that Jesus took us out of our own sin and shame and invited us to live in a new direction. And when we look at the world around us, we need to smile and let them know, no matter what they say about you, Jesus sees past all the sin and shame and simply invites you to come. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.